Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
So Putin's timeline for storing tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus is hard to believe. That is an article in The Guardian, and we wanted to try and understand a little bit more about what really goes on with Putin, with his nuclear. Well, we certainly know he has nuclear capability, but how close is he from perhaps using them? Jasmine Opperman is a security consultant. She specializes in extremism and political violence. She is certainly no stranger to the morning mayhem. Jasmine, a very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. I'm doing well, and yourself?
I am well, thank you. So there we are, a year and a bit later. This war is still raging on. It's actually hard to believe that this is still a reality, one way or another.
Yes, Howard, and I think the harsh reality, irrespective of how it's being portrayed, is that this is exactly what Putin is aiming at, is to prolong this war as far as possible, maintaining control over the Black Sea with grain exports, which is vital to the world economy, depleting and limiting and weakening the Ukraine defense and the soldiers available to them, and hoping that at the end we're going to see Afghanistan, we're going to see Vietnam, we're going to see Iraq, we're going to see Syria, where there's simply a loss, a declining interest in supporting Zelensky. And what we are seeing now is just Putin responding to the recent ICC listing him as a war criminal. So there is more than words at play here. Let's not underestimate Russia's nuclear head capacity. We're looking at anything between 4,000 and 5,000 nuclear heads. And they are positioning themselves in the region.
So the interesting thing is that the longer he goes on, the less interest the rest of the world has, which I really think is what he's counting on, because the appetite to support Ukraine from the rest of the world is already diminishing. We can see it. And ultimately that is probably the long game that Putin is playing.
And I think this is what is happening with Belarus now. We must keep in mind that we are talking in a region where there are NATO states. I'm thinking Poland, Latvia as a case in point. So it's also about extending its influence and showing direct support to those that actually favors Putin and the war in Ukraine. So what Putin is doing is not only responding, and I think we must be clear on this, he's a strategist. And at all times, so his positioning in that region should eventually the interests weaken to an extent where they can step in and say, but listen, we have told you so. And this is now the contest in that region.
So let's now talk about the whole nuclear threat. There's been stages in the last year that it seemed to become closer to a reality, that we were a little bit more nervous. Then it pulled back a little bit. Where are we in terms of that being a real possibility?
You know, Howard, when this whole thing started, I made the mistake of tweeting, I don't see Putin going into Ukraine. I had to eat my words very quickly.
Yeah, even the experts sometimes just don't get it right, exactly.
Yes, I do believe that when we start talking tactical nuclear weapons, that's to say short-range missiles, artillery rounds, I think that is a reality that cannot be ignored. If we are talking about a nuclear situation as we had with the Cuban crisis in the 60s, I don't foresee the situation as you and I are talking now spiraling to that extent. The thing is, the nuclear and the fear of nuclear war is a convenient ally now for Russia in positioning itself and showing to the enemies that we have a sustained capacity, we are willing to use it. Have it? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't foresee, and actually the people I've spoken to in Russia has indicated to me that this must be seen more as a political positioning, as an actual war strategy at play.
Mm. There's a lot being said about Putin's health, about body doubles, about all sorts of things that I never know where are conspiracy theories, are real, are absolute nonsense. What are you hearing about the health of Putin?
Howard, I'm hesitant to answer that question. I'm going to be very honest with you and your listeners, as I do not have the facts. But there's so much construction around this issue. If you watch BBC, if you watch CNN, Al Jazeera, and how this position is being presented as ever weakening. The message I'm getting beyond his health is that he's sound, he's in place, he's in a good spot, he's got his circle of alliances across the globe, and that the narrative of a Putin suffering health-wise, I can simply not verify, Howard. I'm going to be honest.
Mm. So it's interesting because for years before it became unpopular, I was often asked by Russia Today to analyze body language, and I did the meeting, the first Donald Trump Putin meeting, the second one, as well as some of the other meetings that Putin has had with world leaders. And the one thing about him is he's very, very, very difficult to read. Whereas Donald Trump is very out there. His arms and his legs and his face is everywhere. He certainly the way he started off in his political life, it's kind of improved, or he's contained himself a little bit more as he's developed politically. But Putin is an unreadable, he's a mask. His face is quite Botoxed. He doesn't have a lot of facial expression. He contains himself very, very much in his center, doesn't allow people into his personal space. And when, you know, I've watched a number of things, I don't see a difference, I must tell you. It doesn't mean that I'm absolutely right about this, because he isn't he's never been particularly natural. So therefore you don't have a very good baseline to measure him against. But I can tell you that I don't see much of a difference. I think that he's in the same space in terms of, more or less health, the way he's meeting people, the way he carries himself. I don't see much of a difference.
I have to agree with you. And you know, Howard, it takes me back to the recent meeting with the Chinese president. If you looked at him, if you looked at his body posture, nothing has shifted.
Nothing.
He remains determined. He remains focused. He believes in what he's doing.
Agreed.
And we have to keep in mind, Howard, irrespective of who's bad or who's, there's no good and only bad in war. The West Front has always been a sensitive issue to Russia. And we have seen in the preceding period to the Ukrainian war how NATO has extended its influence in that area, leaving Russia uncomfortable. So that Putin is seeing himself in a weakened position where we are talking now. No, I have to agree with you. I can't read it. I just find it interesting, Howard, just a side comment. If I look at the body counts, both sides, I keep on asking myself, well, how long can Ukraine maintain this?
Yeah.
Where are these soldiers coming from?
Yeah. And it's very sad, Dad, because we see them getting younger as they do in a prolonged war as well. It's quite tragic, really.
Yeah. And now, needless to say, with Wagner stepping into Ukraine, there's no mercy.
Absolutely.
They release soldiers from prison. They use them as cannon fodder. And so it's very difficult, actually, to say. But in terms of body count, has Russia actually extended its own capacity? I'm sitting here as an analyst, and what I have in front of me, I don't see a significant weakened position as being portrayed on so many media channels.
It's very, very interesting. Jasmine Opperman, security consultant, specializing in extremism and political violence.